Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 11th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
President Trump stands firm on his deadline for a sale of TikTok's U.S. business.
Prospects for a stimulus bill fade as Republicans fail to pass a slimmed-down measure.
The wildfire in California becomes the deadliest in state history.
And J.P. Morgan makes the strongest push yet to bring staff back to the office.
The nation remembers the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Plus, anybody not wearing a mask on public transit in New York City will face a fine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Kansas City Chiefs opened the NFL season beating Houston, and Serena Williams is out of the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are looking to reverse yesterday's losses. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 25 points, Dow futures up 148, NASDAQ futures up 135. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, CAC in Paris down 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 up about 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.75%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up about the same. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. They yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2%, or 7 cents at $37.37 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $10.30 at $19.54 an ounce. The euro 1.1862 against the dollar. The yen 106.22. John.
And Karen, we begin in Washington, where President Trump is standing firm on his deadline for TikTok to sell its U.S. operations by Tuesday.
I'm not extending deadlines now. It's September 15th. There'll be no extension of the TikTok deadline. So we'll either close up TikTok in this country for security reasons, or it'll be sold.
Without an extension, the timeline casts doubt on a possible acquisition by Oracle or Microsoft. We get more on the situation now from Bloomberg's Naomi Nix.
The Trump administration has been a bit confusing on this matter. While Trump has publicly stated September 15th, the executive order he signed has indicated that a sale would have to happen by September 20th. And a separate move by the Trump administration seems to give ByteDance a little bit more time to fully divest the U.S. business, even past the November election. What Microsoft and Oracle will have to do is to figure out exactly what criteria the Chinese government needs in order to approve the sale, and exactly what the Trump administration needs.
Well, ByteDance is likely to miss the president's deadline. Now it needs to navigate a position that finds it stuck in a clash between the world's two biggest superpowers.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the Republican push for a slimmed-down stimulus package failed in the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's bill received just 52 of the 60 votes needed.
Republicans have tried repeatedly to build on the CARES Act and get more help out the door to American families. Democrats have blocked us at every turn.
Democrats were united in blocking the legislation. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is pushing for a more substantial measure.
Republicans are still proposing a totally inadequate plan, one that would actually take us backward. Well, Democrats will not let this happen.
Schumer wants to go back to the negotiating table to put together a larger package. GOP senators are pouring cold water on that idea.
Nearly 3,000 miles away, residents of the Golden State are looking for relief of their own. A wildfire in Northern California has now become the deadliest in state history. Officials report 10 fatalities plus 16 missing people. We get the very latest from Ed Baxter in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom.
It is flames and smoke. Fires this week of unprecedented level in far Northern California and Oregon. More than 3.1 million acres have burned in California this year, surpassing annual records. Fires now raging across Oregon and Washington as well, torching 1.2 million acres. And there's potential the worst is yet to come. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to international news now. Fresh tension over Brexit is heating up in Europe. Talks between the UK and EU are at a stalemate. That leaves the two heading for a chaotic split by the end of the year without a new trade deal. And here with the latest is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
You know, one of the theories that I've heard on this, but this is a lot of speculation, is that at one point the Europeans could decide we just walk out, there's no more talks. But of course, the other date to really keep in mind here is that on September 24th, European leaders will come here to Brussels. The goal of that meeting, the focus is not Brexit, but Brexit could take over the agenda. And that's where we could see that political momentum the Brits have been asking for weeks, to almost take this directly to Angela Merkel, Macron, and so on. It's very high-risk strategy. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but that summit will be key.
The current round of talks will continue, but both sides are painting a bleak picture. Failure to reach a deal by December 31st will trigger tariffs between the UK and its largest trading partner.
And back here in the U.S., futures are gaining after yesterday's 1.7% loss for the S&P 500. Coming up on today's agenda, we're going to get data on inflation. Economists predict the consumer price index rose 0.3% in August. And with more, here's Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says the pandemic has generated volatility. Vehicle costs, as well as insurance, airfares, and wireless, for example, and will continue to do so. In July, the consumer price index rose 0.6%, the same as June. Earlier in the crisis, April, the CPI fell 0.8%, the most since the last recession in December 2008. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. On Wall Street, the push to get employees back to the office is gathering steam. J.P. Morgan Chase is the latest to make a move. It's asking senior sales and trading staff to return to the office by September 21st. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is the strongest move yet by an American bank to restaff its workplaces. The new order applies to managing directors and executive directors who oversee subordinates. The biggest U.S. bank had been opening its offices to more staff over the past few months, but few had been required to return. Earlier this week, Citigroup started circulating a survey to its workforce in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to gauge interest in partially repopulating offices across the tri-state area. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And futures in the green this morning. Dow futures up 0.7%. NASDAQ futures up 1.3%. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street, and that's time for news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Today, New York and the rest of the nation marks the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. In New York, a dispute over coronavirus precautions is leading to separate remembrances. Vice President Mike Pence plans to attend both events. Joe Biden will also attend a ceremony at the World Trade Center Memorial Site before heading to Pennsylvania. John Feel was a 9/11 first responder. Feel also survived COVID-19. He tells ABC 9/11 and COVID both changed his life.
9/11, my injury, and spending 11 weeks in the hospital, and COVID with pneumonia are the only two times in my life that I've been scared.
President Trump and Joe Biden both plan to visit the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania today, though not at the same time. President Trump focused on the battleground state of Michigan. During a rally last night in Freeland, Trump suggested that if Joe Biden wins the White House, suburbs will be in trouble.
Does anybody want to have somebody from Antifa as a member and as a resident of your suburb? I don't think so.
Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, spoke before black leaders.
Our country is grieving the loss of jobs, the loss of life, the loss of normalcy, the loss of consistency, and in many cases, the loss of hope.
A Microsoft investigation found Russian, Chinese, and Iranian hackers have stepped up efforts to disrupt the U.S. election by targeting the campaigns of President Trump and Joe Biden. New Yorkers will be fined $50 starting Monday if they refuse to comply with the state's mandate to wear masks while using public transportation. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced the plans to increase enforcement of his previous mask order to boost ridership. Subway and commuter rail use in New York City has drastically decreased since the coronavirus pandemic. Cuomo also said that President Trump is still mishandling the crisis by calling for less COVID-19 testing. The governor says it is already happening in places like Florida, raising questions about what is really happening in the Sunshine State.
It's the same fraud that he perpetrated when he stood up and said this will be gone by Easter.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. And time down for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Steshauer.
Good morning, John. Serena Williams still stuck on 23 Grand Slam titles, one shy of tying the all-time record. Still hasn't won a major in 3.5 years. Since then, 4 losses in finals. And last night in the U.S. Open semifinals, Battle of Mothers, Victoria Azarenka dropped the first set 6-1, but took the next two, both 6-3, another lost opportunity for Serena.
It's obviously disappointing, but at the same time, I did what I could today. You know, I feel like other times I've been close and I could have done better, and today I felt like I gave a lot.
Azarenka will face Naomi Osaka in tomorrow's final. She beat American Jen Brady 3 sets, men's semis tonight. Opening night in the NFL, there were some fans let in at Arrowhead Stadium. They saw the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs defeat Houston 34-20. Patrick Mahomes' third straight season opener, where he's thrown at least 3 touchdown passes with no interceptions. The Texans stayed in the locker room during the national anthem. Miami Dolphins say they will do likewise Sunday at New England. Jets open their season Sunday in Buffalo, with the Giants home for Pittsburgh on Monday night. NBA playoffs, the Lakers beat Houston 110-100, near triple-double for LeBron James. Both Los Angeles teams have 3-1 series leads. It looks like they're headed to play in the West Finals. Boston and Toronto play Game 7 tonight. The winner faces Miami in the East Finals. Stanley Cup playoffs, Dallas scored 31 seconds into overtime, beat Vegas 3-2 for a 2-1 series lead. The Islanders down 2-0, have Game 3 with Tampa Bay tonight. Yankees and Orioles rained out in the Bronx. Doubleheader tonight. John Steshauer, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Thanks, John. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports when we speak with Terrell Davis. The former Denver Broncos running back weighs in on the pandemic's impact on the NFL. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. Dow futures right now up 171 points. S&P futures up 28. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are climbing at the end of a week in which concerns over valuations in some pockets of the market whipsawed global equities. The British pound is headed for its biggest weekly drop since March as Brexit talks fray. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 29 points, Dow futures up 175, NASDAQ futures up 144, the DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. They yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 4 cents at $37.33 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $10.70 at $19.53.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1861 against the dollar. British pound 1.2772 and the yen 106.22. And today we're watching for the consumer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. And Kroger is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Americans are set to commemorate the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks with tributes altered by the coronavirus. President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden both plan to visit the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania today, though not at the same time. In New York, there will be 2 ceremonies. Vice President Mike Pence plans to attend both events. Biden will also attend the main New York observance before heading to Pennsylvania. A wildfire in Northern California has killed at least 10 people as searchers look for 16 missing people. Authorities say the fire northeast of San Francisco destroyed at least 2,000 buildings. Deadly wildfires in northwest Oregon are growing, with hundreds of thousands of people told to flee flames. games. In baseball, the Yankees-Orioles game was rained out. The Red Sox won. Nationals lost. The A's beat the Astros. The Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. And we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, what to make of these markets? They've been whipsawed lately. Let's bring in our first guest to ask him. Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at Bank of New York Mellon. He joins us this morning. What narrative are investors attached to this morning, Jeff?
Well, you know, overall, it's a combination of things. If we look at Europe, you know, they are looking to see how this Brexit saga, you know, works and, well, if it's going to work or not. At least both sides are still talking, you know, is that going to impact the European economy? And also, I'm just still absorbing yesterday's ECB decision, which on balance we think was actually, you know, quite positive. But, of course, you know, the US is driving things as well, given the volatility we've had in equity markets. So I think clients are also, you know, positioning for that, especially, you know, heading into some key policy dates and some key data points. So basically, where is the dollar going to go from here, given a lot of the European news has already been factored into current pricing?
Just to focus on U.S. equities for a moment, valuations, does that remain a concern at this point?
I think, you know, this is a narrative, you know, that has been expressed throughout the last few months, you know, if not years or so. You know, how can we justify current valuations, you know, given growth, you know, here and there? I think ultimately, you know, there still is an argument whereby what's actually the leading growth, and we still, you know, following tech, you know, and is this sector, you know, relatively, I would say, you know, neutral, you know, to whatever the economy is doing? I think, you know, that's a debate to be had, you know, but, you know, on the other hand, I don't think investors are still going to have enough confidence in what's going on outside of the U.S., right? So you can have a negative U.S. valuations or corporate a narrative, but that doesn't mean you have a more positive narrative, you know, elsewhere. I see this in Europe in particular. There's an investment plan in place. Money is on the table. The ECB is even positive. It just doesn't seem the markets are biting just yet.
You mentioned the ECB meeting yesterday with Christine Lagarde. Of course, we have on Wednesday the Federal Reserve with Jerome Powell meeting. Jeff, I got to wonder, are these two central banks on the same page?
So I don't think they need to be on the same page, you know, because, you know, they've got different targets, you know, so the Fed has different mandates and has a wider mandate, and they're facing the different issues, you know, at this point, right? So, and I guess the extension of your question is Europe in a process, you know, whereby they can actually start to look at changing their framework towards average inflation targeting, you know, anytime soon? I would say the answer is no, you know, actually, because, you know, Europe, you know, has to deal with the potential fragmentation of Europe, you know, has to deal, you know, with the individual sovereign issues and north-south divergence and fiscal constraints, right? Some countries, you know, can borrow, some countries, you know, cannot. And this is where the wider European Union has stepped in, you know, whereas the Fed is actually looking at more idiosyncratic risks and the way to actually drive full employment and to get, you know, inflation higher. And also, I think, you know, Europe has a longer-term structural issue, you know, which it needs to deal with as well. So it doesn't need to be on the same page. I actually found the Canadians, you know, quite interesting, you know, yesterday, how Tiff Macklem was actually, quote-unquote, you know, congratulating the Fed on their own framework. And does that mean some things are stirring north of the border? So that's where you could argue they need to be a bit more on the same page, at least reading from the same book.
And I suspect that it's a cultural thing with the ECB, with maybe the Germans in the driver's seat and the fear of inflation there.
So, you know, that may have been the case in the past, but right now I think, you know, Germany, for the next 2 years at least, you know, Scholz has been very clear, saying they can actually just leave the debt brake aside for the time being. Germany will run deficits. You know, they realize there's an investment gap, and they need to fill it, right? So, yes, you can be worried about your inflation so over the medium to longer term, but the Eurozone's 2022 inflation forecast is 1.3%. That is not runaway inflation, even by German standards, right? So there is actually, you know, some room for maneuver right now. And again, money has been committed. You know, Germany is actually leading the way here. You know, France has always been favoring this as well. I just think, you know, markets actually need to give Europe a bit more credit on what's on the table.
Jerome Powell here in the U.S. says maybe inflation can run a little hot. Do we get clarification on that Wednesday and the implication for markets? 30 seconds, if you would.
So I think some more clarification, you know, would be welcomed by markets, and he will be expected to dwell on that. But to actually adopt a full framework and on an operational basis, I think that's going to take some time as well. And I don't know whether the Fed has actually decided upon it. But the narrative, letting the inflation rate run hot, letting the economy run hot, I think we should all expect that.
Jeff, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at Bank of New York Mellon, with us this morning. And after yesterday's, it was a nearly 2% sell-off for the NASDAQ Composite Index. Right now, NASDAQ futures, the E-mini futures, they're up 157 points, a rise of about 1.4% this morning. S&P futures, the E-mini futures, 32 points higher. That's up 1%. And the Dow futures right now, they are up 198 points. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, a rise of 0.7%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are looking to reverse yesterday's losses. S&P futures are up 1% after yesterday's 1.7% decline. Heading into today, the index is down more than 5% so far this month.
And in corporate news, a possible sale of TikTok's U.S. operations appears to be getting more complicated. President Trump is standing firm on his deadline for an agreement by Tuesday.
I'm not extending deadlines now. It's September 15th. There'll be no extension of the TikTok deadline. So we'll either close up TikTok in this country for security reasons, or it'll be sold.
ByteDance is likely to miss the president's deadline. Without an extension, the timeline casts doubt on a possible acquisition by Oracle or Microsoft.
On the earnings front, results from Peloton have surged higher by 12.5% in early trading. The company reported quarterly sales that topped estimates, and here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Stay-at-home orders and gym closures continue to spur purchases of the company's exercise equipment and workout subscriptions. The COVID-19 pandemic has boosted demand for Peloton's products and services as consumers look for new ways to work out at home. The stock has more than tripled this year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Oracle is also out with earnings that beat estimates. Shares are up 3% after demand for cloud computing boosted revenue. Oracle is also projecting increased sales for the current quarter.
On Capitol Hill, the Republican push for a slimmed-down stimulus package has failed in the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's bill received just 52 of the 60 votes needed.
Republicans have tried repeatedly to build on the CARES Act and get more help out the door to American families. Democrats have blocked us at every turn.
Democrats blocked the legislation, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pushing for a more substantial measure.
Republican McConnell bill is pathetically, as Chuck Schumer and I called it, it's not only a skinny bill, it's emaciated. It doesn't help state and local workers at all.
Pelosi wants to go back to the negotiating table to put together a larger package. GOP senators are pouring cold water on the idea.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, U.S. futures are in the green this morning after yesterday's 2% sell-off for the NASDAQ. NASDAQ E-mini futures this morning are up 1.4%, up 154 points. S&P futures right now, they're up 32 points. That's up almost 1%. And the Dow E-mini futures, 189 points higher. That is up 0.7%. Yield on the benchmark 10-year, right now 68 basis points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Americans are remembering the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden will be in New York along with Vice President Mike Pence. Tonight, the annual tribute in lights will shine, even though it seemed to be in jeopardy for a while this year. In August, the 9/11 Memorial and Museum canceled it because of safety concerns due to the pandemic. They then reversed that decision. Governor Andrew Cuomo stepped in, saying that the state would provide the support needed to set up the memorial. John Feel was a first responder during 9/11. Feel has also survived COVID-19. He says the injuries from the attacks and the virus were life-changing.
It altered my life. It changed the way I look, smell, hear, and think. And just like my injury did 19 years ago, I'm never going to be the same again.
President Donald Trump and Joe Biden both plan to visit the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania today, though not at the same time. A Northern California wildfire that destroyed a foothill hamlet has become the state's deadliest blaze of the year, with 10 people confirmed dead, and the toll could climb as searchers look for 16 missing people. Authorities say the North Complex fire that exploded in wind-driven flames earlier in the week has slowed down today after the winds eased and temperatures cooled down. Earlier flames exploding through the foothills northeast of San Francisco destroyed at least 2,000 buildings. President Trump was at a rally in Freeland, Michigan last night attacking Bob Woodward's book.
This whack job that wrote the book, he said, well, Trump knew a little bit. They wanted me to come out and scream, people are dying, we're dying. No, no, we did it just the right way. We have to be calm.
Vice President Joe Biden reacted to revelations about the president downplaying the COVID-19 crisis. Biden told CNN the president's poor leadership cost lives.
He said there's no need for social distancing. Don't bother wearing masks. He actually went so far as to suggest that it was a violation of American freedom to maintain you had to wear a mask. And look what's happened.
New Yorkers will be fined $50 starting Monday if they refuse to comply with the state's mandate to wear masks while using public transportation. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced plans to increase enforcement of his previous mask order to boost ridership. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, a sight many weren't sure we'd see. The NFL is back. And the Kansas City Chiefs, playing their first game in 50 years as a defending Super Bowl champ, beat Houston 34-20. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes, so he picked up where he left off. There are even some fans allowed in. Jacksonville's the only other Week 1 game where that will happen. The Jets open Sunday in Buffalo. The Giants begin the Joe Judge era Monday night at home versus Pittsburgh. The new coach ripped into his team at practice yesterday, made them start practice over. Saquon Barkley said he loved that. Women's semifinals, U.S. Open. Both matches won 3 sets. Naomi Osaka, looking for 2 open titles in 3 years, beat American Jen Brady. And then Victoria Azarenka continued her comeback by ousting Serena Williams, who may have been hampered by a leg injury, also may have been hurt by having to play 4 straight 3-set matches. Serena's about to turn 39. She's still chasing that elusive record tying 24th Grand Slam title. Looking like the NBA's West Finals will be between the 2 L.A. teams. Lakers and Clippers are both up 3-1. The Lakers beat Houston last night. Boston and Toronto will have their Game 7 tonight for the right to face Miami. The Islanders have Game 3 with Tampa Bay tonight. Pretty much must-win for the Isles, who trail 2-0. Dallas beat Vegas in overtime for a 2-1 lead. Yankee pitcher James Paxton suffered a setback in his aim to return from an arm injury. Yanks and Orioles will have a doubleheader tonight in the Bronx to make up for last night's rainout. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And with that, here's Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
Sources tell Bloomberg the owner of New York Sports Clubs is planning to file for bankruptcy as soon as today. They say Town Sports International was negotiating a potential $80 million capital injection from Kennedy Lewis Investment Management, but talks surrounding the financing apparently fell through. American Express is reopening offices in New York and London this week. The card companies reopened offices in 30 locations, mostly in Asia and Europe, after seeing infection rates remain constantly low. It's also told employees they can continue working from home through June 2021 if they wish. U.S. universities like Princeton and Harvard are finding love for their bonds from international investors seeking extra yield in a world of falling interest rates. Demand for debt of American colleges has increased recently from investors in places like Japan, South Korea, Singapore, and Taiwan. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
And it's now 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing and the FAA are working to address a fourth production flaw with the 787 Dreamliner.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting quarterly results from Kroger, which is based in Cincinnati, are expected to show solid growth.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's defiance as the EU threatens legal action over changing the withdrawal agreement.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing and the FAA are working to address a fourth production flaw with the 787 Dreamliner.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Tesla plans to ship cars made in China to Asia and Europe.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Reminder, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now. This is an issue devoted entirely to November's election. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube. Weekdays from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Global News. And some other stories we're following. Altice Europe is going private. The founder, Patrick Drahi, is announcing plans to take the French telecom company private at a value of $5.8 billion. This represents a 24% premium over Thursday's closing price. He already owns a third of the company. And one of the biggest debt deals ever in Asia, Nissan raising $8 billion in its first non-convertible dollar bond sale in more than two decades. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to SEIC.com/banks. U.S. futures are climbing at the end of a week in which concerns over valuations in some pockets of the market whipsawed global equities. NASDAQ futures are pointing to a rebound following a topsy-turvy U.S. session, which saw the tech-heavy gauge lose more than 2% yesterday. Right now, NASDAQ futures are up 1.25%. They're up 142 points. S&P futures up 31. Dow futures up 191. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd, yield 0.68%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1%, down 3 cents at $37.27 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $10 at $19.54.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1869 against the dollar. British pound 1.2790 and the yen 106.22. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, today is the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks with traditional ceremonies this year having to readjust due to the coronavirus pandemic. In New York, two separate ceremonies will take place in Manhattan to commemorate the tragedy. Former Vice President and current Democratic candidate Joe Biden and Vice President Mike Pence are both expected to attend the 9/11 Memorial and Museum ceremony. Pence will also attend the Staten Island event as well. President Trump and Joe Biden both plan to visit the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania today, though not at the same time. More bodies have been found in Northern California from the wildfires that moved through communities on Tuesday and Wednesday. The total dead on the West Coast from wildfires in California, Oregon, and Washington is now at 17, and with more people missing. In baseball, the Yankees-Orioles game was rained out. The Red Sox won. Nationals lost. The A's beat the Astros. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the UK and the European Union are heading for a chaotic split without a new trade deal as talks between the two sides appear to be fraying. Let's get the update now. We're joined by Bloomberg Brexit editor Edward Evans. Yeah, Brexit is back. Excuse me for being a little confused, Ed. I thought the Brexit withdrawal agreement was all settled.
That's exactly what everyone thought until this week when Johnson's government effectively lobbed a hand grenade into the process, saying, no, the British government wants to rewrite parts of this agreement, particularly the promises it made over Northern Ireland. Now, this is a hugely sensitive part of Brexit. If you remember, it was one of the big obstacles to getting the withdrawal agreement in the first place. And the effect has been absolutely electric. It has appalled Brussels. They've given Johnson an absolute ultimatum: amend this bill within 3 weeks or face legal action. German diplomat has come out last night, absolutely shocked by this. And lawmakers in Johnson's own Conservative Party are threatening to rebel. They want to sabotage Johnson's plan to break international law. Conservatives traditionally the party of law and order, and the British government traditionally a government that abides by the law.
Does this threaten a return to violence in Northern Ireland?
Quite possibly. The problem here is that Johnson, if you remember, is taking Britain out of the European Union's single market and customs union. And the border then has to go somewhere. The problem, of course, is you can't put the border on the island of Ireland. So Johnson's move was to put it in the Irish Sea. Now, the problem, though, is Johnson's never quite reconciled himself to that and is backtracking on some of the commitments he made, particularly on how goods going into Northern Ireland, going out of Northern Ireland, will be treated in customs checks and what state aid rules will apply in the province. Now, whether this means there's a return to terrorism in Northern Ireland is one thing, but it's certainly really strains the union. And I would also point you to Scotland, where, again, this move by the British government really has put petrol on the flames of the Scottish nationalist movement. Don't forget there's going to be an election there next year. So you could very well see Johnson could break up the union on this conceivably as well.
And even on this side of the Atlantic, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi getting into the fray, commenting on this. Does it threaten the U.S.-UK relations, trade relations?
Yes, and the Irish part of that is the key point. Pelosi and others have come out saying no trade deal if Ireland's position is threatened, and that's the problem here. Johnson is essentially trying to rewrite almost all of Britain's trading relationships from now on. And he's at this very moment, he has, for what the Europeans see, committed an enormous breach of trust. And it's going to be very hard to build those relations and to sign those deals if there is a concern on the other party that Britain will simply renege on them. So you can see it's not just the US, but it's Europe, the nearest and biggest single trading partner, and everywhere else in the world. Now, that said, of course, we've just had the deal with Japan. So this will take time, but there is a big question here, a breach of trust.
Yeah, this presupposes there is a strategy. What's Boris Johnson's strategy? About 30 seconds.
3 seconds. Threaten something so damaging that the EU gives way and gives Britain a more favorable trade agreement. That's the conventional wisdom. But don't forget, Johnson, this is not like last year where it all came good in the end and Johnson got a deal. There are fundamental disagreements here, and a lot of the safety guards that stopped a no-deal Brexit last time have come off. Don't forget, Parliament can't stop Johnson this time. He's got an 80-seat majority.
And real quick, is there some sort of drop-dead date?
Yep. December 31st is when the transition period ends, and that's the moment where if there is no trade agreement, you'll get full customs checks, quotas, and tariffs, and quite very likely chaos at the ports in Britain. Okay. The EU says, and the UK say they want to get a deal by mid-October. That's to allow time to ratify it. You could very well see this one going on, those talks going well on into November as they really try and get a deal. But this is going to go down to the wire.
Bloomberg Brexit editor Edward Evans, thanks. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
a part of an Unwired Planet International patent that led to a $500 million jury verdict against Apple, will not be reviewed by the Patent File and Appeal Board. Bumblebee Foods has a deal with its lenders and unsecured creditors, but a judge says the company cannot emerge from bankruptcy until a $928 million tax bill is paid. A judge in California refused to dismiss a proposed class action against DoorDash. The delivery company is accused of failing to pay some workers in line with federal minimum wage laws.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. The Justice Department is seeking to take over the defense of President Trump in a defamation suit brought by advice columnist E. Jean Carroll, who claims the president raped her 2 decades ago. The suit has been defended by President Trump's personal attorney until now, but the Justice Department says he was acting within the scope of his job as president when he said Carroll lied about the incident. For more on the situation, June Grosso speaks with the Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson.
This lawsuit has been going on since November. Why is the Justice Department trying to step in as counsel now?
Well, that's really the latest big twist in this case. It wasn't expected by anyone. It wasn't expected by Carroll or her well-known lawyer, Roberta Kaplan. They just really didn't see this coming. The Justice Department filed court papers in federal court in the Southern District of New York to remove the case from state court, saying that because the suit is filed against the sitting president, the Attorney General's office had determined that the allegations at the center of the defamation suit related to President Trump's actions in his official capacity at the time that he denied Carroll's claims and allegedly defamed her, and that since this was an official capacity act, the Justice Department said that it could substitute the United States government for Trump as the defendant in the case and move the case to federal court under the Federal Tort Claims Act, which essentially shields federal government employees from being sued in their individual capacity in some cases.
Eric, it would be sort of a triple whammy for Carroll if the judge allows this move, because the case would be in federal court instead of state court. The Justice Department, with all its resources, would take over defending the suit, and Trump might not even be liable under the Federal Tort Claims Act.
That's right. It would really derail the case pretty significantly. Without Trump as a defendant, it's unlikely that they would be able to get some of the discovery that they seek, although it's not clear how they would. But it's significant, too, because under the Federal Tort Claims Act, defamation is a suit that you can't file against the government. So it's possible that if the case is allowed to proceed in federal court, and there hasn't been any determination from a judge on that, but if it is allowed to proceed, that it's likely that a defamation case simply wouldn't even be allowed to proceed, that it could spell the end of the case. It's unclear exactly what the ramifications would be there.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures up 32 points this morning. Dow futures up 204. NASDAQ futures up 144. And the 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 0.68%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Our top stories straight ahead.